For leading us in those songs, and nice to have the visitors that we have this evening too. We're happy for you being here. Something you want to further study after the lesson, I'm happy to serve in that way as you investigate the scriptures and the things we're going to talk about this evening. We're going to continue to talk about the loose positions that have been taught on marriage and divorce, specifically about divorce and remarriage. And what the Bible actually teaches about that. This morning we talked about the kingdom law and baptism, washing away previous marriages, desertion. And this evening I want to talk about this notion of love the one you are with. Love the one you are with. You know, this Genesis chapter 2:24, it's amazing as you think about the scripture reading the canon read, and as Jesus confronted those who were teaching error on divorce or remarriage, they both go to the Genesis record, the creation model. And it should stand out to you and me that the creation model is itself a pattern that denies all of these loose, flippant positions. Jesus said there in as he quotes verse 24, in both Matthew and Mark's account, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Paul quotes from that also in Ephesians. It seems to me that the Genesis record lays as a basis for our understanding of marriage and our understanding of divorce and our understanding of remarriage. And you know, this idea of loving the one you're with is completely foreign to the bond within the text here. This defines, this verse 24... Of course, Adam in verse 23, looking at the sacrifice in which he had given, and there was a reminder of that sacrifice in his side. And I like what Heath Rogers taught when he was here about Paul. We often forget about the lasting physical consequences of sacrifice when Paul was beaten and stoned. He felt that the next day and for a while. There was a reminder of the cost of woman for Adam, and it was well worth the cost. And I'm going to talk about that. But you know, this love the one you're with, just even the phrase itself irks me. It annoys me. The phrase itself, as if you can just love anyone. And this context here in Genesis, you know, with this bond, this joining together, this husband's love is to be so anchored and so committed to his wife that he leaves, and that word means to leave, set free, abandoned, forsaken, go away from his father and mother, which is, that's a strong relationship. And to leave that, and then it's like polar opposite word, and be joined, stuck, glued, bound, tied together, leave and cleave, to his wife. Now, let me just, you know, this relationship, as you think about leaving your parents, that's a testimony to how much more love you have to your wife. You know, in Mark chapter 10, if you're there, Mark chapter 10, verse 28, when Jesus had taught on, you know, with the rich young ruler, and the rich young ruler had left, and he teaches about how hard it is for a rich man to come into the kingdom. And then we read in Mark chapter 10, in 28, Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." What does it mean that we have left all? It means that we value you more than any and everything else on earth. All of the relationships that we've had pale in comparison to our relationship with you. In verse 29, and Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. But again, the point is, if you're going to leave your parents to be joined to your wife, it's because you love her, value her, adore her even more than you would your... I want my children to do that with their spouse, their spouses. I want them to love their spouse more than they love me, because I want that marriage to be in play for the rest of their life. I want that glue to bind as long as there's breath in their lungs. And I don't want anything to come between it. Of course, that's down the road quite a way. But, you know, that's the point that I want to make. I want it to be serious. I want it to be sober. Regarding, you know, this loving, intimate, emotional relationship, it is the most of which is found on earth is in marriage. And how casual are men to come into marriage and then to exit marriage? Would we treat our parents this way? Would we say, well, you know, just love the parents you have. Just love the ones you're with. Would we treat them that way? As if you can just get another set of parents when you're tired of them, just kind of trade them off for a new set. We wouldn't talk to our parents or think about it that way. But with this relationship between a man and his wife, we treat it flippantly. Genesis 24 displays that God so elevated the marital union that to bring forth the wife, Adam himself must make a sacrifice. Adam was to undergo a deep death-like sleep in order to bring forth his woman, by which God would bring forth from his side. It's translated here from his rib. And you know, man is so great at destroying beautiful things. He can, as I've talked about many times, he takes what is lovely and he destroys it. He takes what is pure and defiles it. Even this sacrifice, in a very humorous but somewhat really degrading way, one fellow told me that, you know, in this joke where before Eve was made, Adam is kind of conversing with God, and God is going to tell him that I'm going to make you the greatest companion you'll ever have. She'll be just marvelous, wonderful. Her beauty will be ravishing, and her thinking and her care unlike anything you can imagine. And she's gonna love you, and she's gonna know what you need and care for you before you even know what you need. But it's gonna cost you an arm and a leg and an eyeball. And Adam says, "Well, what can you give me for a rib?" That's the joke, you know. And so it's humorous, but it still degrades women. And, you know, this sacrifice here, have you stopped to ask this question? Why did God make the woman from man? Why? He made man from dirt. Why not make a woman from dirt? He didn't choose the twig of a tree. He didn't take the petal of a flower to make her. He didn't take a hair off of a horse's mane and make her, but he told Adam that